We've been learning in the last several weeks about how the Reformation of the Christian faith reasserted the authority of Scripture. We take time each week to confess our faith in that word. Last week we began discussing the Reformation of the Christian doctrine of salvation. It was the material cause of the Reformation that salvation was by faith alone, sola fide. We know we have an eternal soul. We have a conscience which accuses us. Nothing is more important than knowing how I, as a sinner, can be reconciled to God to avoid his eternal judgment. The Reformers declared, based on the inspired word of God in Scripture, that salvation is by faith alone in Christ alone. It is not based at all on our works. This week, I would like to speak to errors that creep into the salvation thinking of the church. These errors can be traced to the fact that we tend to have too low an idea of God and too high an idea of ourselves. The evangelism explosion involves visiting people's homes to present the gospel and suggests asking the question, if you were to die today and God were to ask you why he should let you into heaven, what would you say? R.C. Sproul has told of asking his six-year-old son, what would you say to God? He replied, because I'm dead. That's why you should let me in. Salvation by death is not just the thinking of children. It is also known as universalism. It shows up at funerals. It's reflected in comments of churchgoers who say, my God is a loving, merciful God and would not condemn anyone to eternal hell. Universalism remanufactures the God of the Bible to make a false God, a God without holiness, without righteous wrath, and without justice. What would you think of a judge who released that every criminal came before him? Not just fixing traffic tickets, but every murderer, every child molester, just let them go without punishment. What would you think of a judge like that? Would you think he had justice? Now, if that offends you, understand God's sense of justice is far higher than ours. And not only that, but God's knowledge of our sin is far greater than we imagine. How could God simply excuse our sin? Consistent with his character. A holy God would never allow sin to go unpunished. Only idolaters who worship a God made in their own image could ever think otherwise. Another major thinking error about salvation, which perennially raises its head, is works righteousness. That is the idea that we earn our way into heaven. This is the view of nearly every other religion in the world, including Islam and Hinduism. This was the error of the Pharisees and the Judaizers. It's the error of legalists in every age who say by the keeping of rules, we enhance our chances for heaven. But Scripture teaches we are not saved by our works, but for good works. Humans are great rationalizers. We can easily excuse and explain away our own sin, can't we? But we also very easily find faults in others, even when they don't exist. People are therefore quick to conclude, I'm a good person. I'm not like others. I've never killed anyone or committed adultery or did the bad things that other people do. The most common answer to the evangelism explosion question about admission to heaven is, I'm a good person. That's why you should let me in. The most common statement made to me by those I'm sentencing for felony crimes is, I'm a good person. This isn't me. I was just in the wrong place with the wrong people. Those kinds of explanations. It's never that they're sinners. The idea that we are saved by our own good works is a default position in human thinking, isn't it? And it's also part of our national folklore. There's a neat recent cartoon. Can you put that up? I saw in the paper. Welcome to heaven, rat. This is heaven and I made it? Yep, you died suddenly, but you did enough good things to get in. Great, so whoa, what is Murray doing here? He made it into heaven also. But he was my co-worker, and he was a jerk. I thought sure he'd be in hell. The idea of earning your way into heaven, take it down now, is part of our national folklore, I believe. But despite the universal delusion that we are good people, the truth is our lives revolve around the desire for self-gratification. We want to be saved from the misery that sin produces, but we're reluctant to give up our sinful desires, aren't we? God's word says, there is none righteous, no, not one. There is none who seeks after God. Romans warns us, for the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness, because what may be known of God is manifest to them, for God has shown it to them. We are sinners found out by a holy God. We cannot possibly save ourselves. There is only one who can save, the God who made a way. That way is what we celebrate at Easter. Out of his great love for us, God provided us a means to escape his just wrath without compromising his holiness. There is only one place we can go for rescue, the cross of Christ. Only God's Son could fulfill the law. Only God's Son could become the perfect Lamb of God who could atone for the sin of the world. God put our sins on Jesus and poured out his wrath on those sins on the cross. In the resurrection, God acknowledged the substitutionary atonement and Jesus' payment in full of the debts of those given to him. Therefore, place your faith in the resurrected Christ. Salvation is indeed through faith alone, in Jesus alone. Trust in him. Thank you, Father, for sending your eternal Son to atone for our sin. We know that if our sin were not so offensive to your perfect sense of justice, if there were any other way to reconcile us to you, you would not have sent Jesus to the agony of the cross. We are fools if we think we can save ourselves. May your Spirit deepen our faith in Jesus, deepen our trust in Jesus, and deepen our love for Jesus. We pray in his name. Amen.